Last night in the Taraweeh, Alhamdulillah, the 14th para was recited, which comprises of Suratul Hijr, and thereafter Suratul Nahl, which is also called Suratul Ni'am, in its complete form, was also recited. The first surah, Suratul Hijr, is a Makki surah, and as explained many a time, the central message in the Makki surah concern the fundamentals of deen, particularly the proofs of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also concerning the reality of the hereafter, and also the veracity and truthfulness of the Quran and Majeed. Allah ta'ala begins the Suratul Hijr after Alif Lam Ra, mentioning that these are the verses of the book, the Quran and Majeed, and it is the clear Quran. The Quran and Majeed's message is very clear in its injunctions and its message concerning all the fundamentals of deen. The Quran and Majeed's message is very clear. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, that many a time on the day of Qiyamah, the kuffar will desire and wish that if only they had become Muslims. They had submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will desire this. When they will see the Muslims in success and bliss, then many occasions on the day of Qiyamah, they will desire, if only we had become Muslims. But as we know, in the year after, anyone even desiring or thinking of becoming a Muslim, that will be of no avail. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then told concerning these people who, because of their obstinacy, refuse to accept the message of Haqq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. Leave them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they continue eating and enjoying themselves with the pleasures of this dunya. وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. And leave them that their long and high hopes put them into negligence. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Very shortly they will know the error and the wrong in which they are involved in. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that all localities upon which our punishment descended, it descended on its particular time and particular term. مَا تَسْبِقُ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ. No nation can hasten its term, nor can they delay it. Reference is made to the people of Makkah, the Mushrikeen, when they were warned, if they refuse to accept the message of Haqq, then Allah Ta'ala's punishment will come. They used to, in a mocking way, say, where is that punishment? Why is it not coming? Let it come. So Allah Ta'ala says that our punishment which comes on localities comes at its appointed time. Nobody can hasten it and nobody can delay it. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these people, they also make this absurd demand that لَوْ مَا تَأْتِينَا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that why don't angels from the sky come down to us and verify your claim, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verify your claim to be a Nabi if you are from the truthful. Allah ta'ala in response to that says, مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, that we only send down the angels with the decision of Haqq. In other words, when the punishment is to come, then we will send down the angels. Why are you calling for that angels to come down? And if they come down, they will come with the decision of punishment for you. وَمَا كَانُوا إِذًا مُنْظَرِينَ, and at that time, they will not be given respite. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun, that we have revealed this reminder, the Quran Majeed, and we are its protectors. The previous nations, their responsibility of protecting their heavenly scriptures was left to them. That is why so much changes and distortions took place in the previous scriptures. But concerning the Quran and Majeed, Allah Ta'ala says that we have taken the responsibility of the protection of the Quran and Majeed. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He has taken the responsibility upon Himself, therefore no type of changes, distortions, alterations, additions or omissions can ever come into the Quran and Majid. Allah, and if anyone attempts to do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this ummah raises such individuals or part or groups who are from the Huffaz, the Qurra, the Qaris and the Ulama, who then will definitely see to it that those alterations and distortions are rectified and they don't remain. Another important point to understand here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of the protection of the Quran and Majid. And the Quran and Majid, as defined, is the word of Allah ta'ala together with the meaning of the Quran and Majid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if it is indicated to, that Allah ta'ala has taken the protection of the words of the Quran and Majid as well as the meanings of the Quran and Majid. And the meanings of the Quran and Majid are those that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the people, and that is what is effectively called the ahadith or the sunnah. So the protection of the Quran and Majid, in it is included the protection of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was then done by the group of the muhaddithin. And anyone who denies that the Quran, that the Sunnah and Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a binding authority in Islam, is actually in denial of these types of verses where Allah ta'ala says that we have taken the responsibility of the protection of the Quran and Majid. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, which was one of the greatest manifestations of the Qudrat and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how shaitan then refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, as was Allah ta'ala's order, for which he was then banished from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he made the request and he asked for respite to remain till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala granted him his request that you are now given respite till that day when people will be raised up. On that, Shaitan took a vow that definitely he will then mislead man and beautify the things of the world and deceive man in that way. And but he admits that my misleading man will be to the exception of the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He admits that, illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlaseen. Allah ta'ala then also says that verily my such bandas and my such servants, you, O shaitan, you will not have any power and authority over them besides those who then follow you in your deception. They will now fall, they will be misled. But my particular servants, you will not be able to mislead them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning Jahannam and Jannat, and thereafter mentions, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my bandas, Nabbi ibadi anni anal ghafooru rahim. Inform my bandas that, O my bandas, O my servants, I am most forgiving and most merciful. But also inform them, wa anna adabi huwa al-adabul alim, that my punishment is indeed a very painful punishment. From this, there is an indication that the doors of Tawbah, if a person really repents and makes Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had declared that I am most forgiving and merciful, Allah will definitely forgive. But a person should not fall into the deception of shaitan, that just having this in mind that Allah is most forgiving, a person then becomes reckless in committing sins on the hope that then after that I'll just repent and then I will be forgiven and that's the end of the matter. No, whether you will get that chance to repent sincerely is a different matter, and therefore be warned that my punishment is also a very painful punishment. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of the nation of Lut alayhi salam, who were involved in the very shameless and immoral act of homosexuality, with the result that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them in such a way which was proportion to the type of evil that they were committing. Allah Ta'ala raised their localities and turned them upside down, and they were flung onto the ground and stones were rained down upon them. This is how this nation was destroyed. Allah Ta'ala protect us from such evils. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these localities of the nation of Lut alayhi salam and the ruins They are on a very accessible path, O people of Makkah. The people of Makkah, for their trade, they used to travel from Makkah to Sham, and they used to pass through these localities. And the ruins can be seen clearly. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that on your travels you can see for yourself how the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala came to such a disbelieving nation and such an immoral nation. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the nation of Samud. They are called Ashabul Hijr, for which the surah has been called Hijr, Suratul Hijr. Hijr is actually the name of the valley in which the nation of Samud resided, and that is why they are called Ashabul Hijr. They too were destroyed when they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have granted you the 7 oft repeated verses referring to Suratul Fatiha, and we have granted you the glorious Quran. Referring again to Suratul Fatiha, which has been called the glorious Quran. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala indicates to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we have granted you the greatest of bounties. That is the revelation of the Qur'an Majeed, particularly Suratul Fatiha, which are very often repeated, and we know Surah Fatiha is recited by everyone in every rakat of every salat, and it is called Qur'anul Azim, that the whole Qur'an Majeed is the summary of it, can be condensed in the verses of the Qur'an of Suratul Fatiha. That is why it is called Qur'anul Azim. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that don't stretch your eyes towards those things of enjoyment which we have given to the different types of the groups of the kuffar. In other words, they, whatever they have been given of the world, and the kuffar normally, they are also blessed with all the bounties of the world, the wealth and all the glitter and glamour things of the world. Don't ever stretch your eyes and think that why you are not given these bounties. We have given you the greatest bounty, and it is the everlasting bounty. So don't stretch your eyes to all the things of enjoyment which we have given to the kuffar. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ, and don't grieve over them when they refuse to accept the message of Haqq which you are propagating to them. وَقْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lower your wings for the mu'mineen. In other words, be kind and soft and gentle towards the mu'mineen who accept the message of Haqq, and in a gentle and kind way inform them of whatever their obligations are, and whatever mistakes they make, overlook it. The next surah is Suratul Nahl. Nahl means bee. Since the great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the bee which produces honey, he has been mentioned, that's why in the surah, that's why the surah is called Suratul Nahl. Many, many other bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also mentioned in the surah. That's why another name of the surah is Suratul Ni'am, the surah in which the bounties of Allah ta'ala have been expounded. Allah ta'ala begins the surah informing the kuffar, كَأَتَىٰ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوا, that the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come. In other words, is very close to coming. Therefore, don't hasten it. Don't ask for it to come before its time. And just as mentioned just now, that these kuffar, in a mocking way, they used to say, tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where is that punishment you are telling us that it will come? Bring it on, we want to see it. Allah Ta'ala says, don't ask for it to come before its time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when on its appointed time, then only that punishment will come. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions all His great bounties, particularly the creation of the skies and the earth. Also, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the insan should never forget his humble beginnings. فَخَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ, that insan has been created from a drop of fluid. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ, but suddenly we see that he becomes an open opponent, and now he wants to argue and debate concerning the existence of Allah Ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the great qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same insan who becomes such a open opponent to the message of Deen, he must not forget that his initial stages, initial condition was just a drop of fluid, and now suddenly he has now become such a open opponent to the message of Deen. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions his great bounties, particularly livestock. Allah Ta'ala says, we have created the livestock for you, and in it there is warmth for you. The skins of the animals are used to make clothing and many other benefits. And also from these animals, some of them you eat also. And for you there is beauty and pleasure when these animals come back from their pastures and grazing grounds towards in the evening. And when they then proceed in the morning again to the grazing fields for the owner, what a sight it is of beauty. All these animals are coming and they're going. And these animals carry your loads to such areas where for you to reach them is very difficult. They carry your loads for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most compassionate and merciful. Further on, Allah ta'ala mentions the great bounty of sending down rain. And from that rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the different types of crops to grow. Water is one, but all the different things that grow, the great bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala mentions concerning his other great creations, and he uses the word, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ. Sakhara means to make subservient. Allah has made subservient for you the night and the day and the sun and the moon and the stars. By making subservient means Allah Ta'ala has put it to at your disposal to take benefit from. These are all the different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala has created for our benefit. Even the sea has been mentioned that from there you take out fresh meat in the form of fish, and even the fish, even the ships which you see, they are cleaving their way and sailing on the water, is also the sign of the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and his great bounty upon you. And وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that in all these bounties which you are blessed with, you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you try to enumerate and count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ni'mah in a singular form, one bounty is inclusive of millions of other bounties. If you try and count them, لَا تُحْسُوهَا, you will never be able to enumerate them. And be always grateful for all the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, although in reality the haqq of shukr you will never be able to fulfill, because just to make shukr is also another bounty, and for that you need an independent shukr. And in that way, a person, he must try as much as possible to always be grateful for all the bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the people of Jannah, those who adopt taqwa, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with the bounties of Jannah, that is also mentioned here. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that for those who make hijrat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah ta'ala, after they have been oppressed, لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, we will settle them in the dunya in a good way. Those who sincerely make hijrat for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, although to make hijrat is a very difficult task, to leave your homeland, your property, your business, your family, and to go to a foreign land, foreign area, and to try and settle down there is not an easy thing. Particularly, as we see nowadays, migrants are not looked in a favorable way in any country. But Allah Ta'ala says that we make for you a good place to settle. And we see the Muhajireen, when they made hijrat to Madinatul Munawwara, how Allah Ta'ala made arrangements that they settled down very nicely with the assistance of the Ansar, the residents of Madinatul Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them. But and Allah Ta'ala also then reminds the Muhajireen, wala ajru al-akhirati akbar, the rewards for your making hijrat in the hereafter is much greater. Further on, Allah Ta'ala in the part of a verse mentions, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that ask the people of who know, if you are unaware, if you do not know. Here the essence and importance of taqleed is also indicated too. Taqleed means having full trust on a person and then following that person in the path of deen. So taqleed is necessary because the general Muslim public on their own, it is impossible for them to act on the on deen in its entirety without taqleed. Even those who deny taqleed, their denial also, they cannot generalize it, they cannot say it in a general way, because inevitably there has to be taqleed to follow the injunctions of deen in its entirety. They have to follow those who now they have trust on. The deen has reached us through the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they had narrated it from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then it was passed on from generation to generation. So you have to follow others to understand deen and to act upon deen in its entirety. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have revealed to you the reminder, the Qur'an Majeed, so that you explain to the people that which has been revealed to them, and so that they can ponder. Here too we understand that the responsibility of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just to impart to the ummah the words of the Qur'an Majeed, but also to explain the meaning of the Qur'an Majeed, and the meaning of the Qur'an Majeed and the explanation of it is in essence what we call the hadith and the sunnah. So here too, as mentioned previously, that without the sunnah, without the commentary of the Qur'an Majeed in the form of the hadith and sunnah, it is virtually not possible to act on deen in its entirety. Just on the Qur'an Majeed, even 2 rakat salat a person will not be able to perform, because nowhere in the Qur'an Majeed is the entire sequence and condition of salat mentioned in its entirety. The order of salat is definitely there, but where do we know that Fajr has got 2 rakat, Zuhr has got 4 rakat of farz, and like that the other salats? We have come to know that from the hadith, and anyone who denies the hadith is also actually in denial of the message of the Quran Majeed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of his other bounties. Allah ta'ala says that in these cattle and in these animals there is great signs and there are great lessons for you. Allah Ta'ala mentions that those animals which give milk, Allah Ta'ala says, we give you to drink from that which is in their bellies between the excreta and blood. We give you pure milk which is pleasant to drink for those who drink it. We know that milk which comes out, it is actually from the inside of the animal between its excreta and blood, but pure milk comes out. Never have you ever heard that the milk is contaminated with the excreta or blood, the taste or the smell of it is in the milk. Allah Ta'ala produces pure milk from these animals which give milk, in which there is great signs of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the bee, and we all know the bee, small creature, but how Allah Ta'ala has given in such intelligence, and also in a beehive, the system of government which the bees have, with the functional head to be the queen bee, is just like how insan and humans, they run their administration of government, and in a similar way, the bees also have this. There are great details of how the bees function in a beehive, and Allah Ta'ala says, from their bellies, the honey is taken out, which is to drink, and of different colors, and in it there is cure for mankind. Allah Ta'ala clearly mentions that in honey it has healing properties and curing properties, in it there is shifa for mankind, to which all the medical doctors etc. also testify to, that honey has got very great healing and healing properties and powers. Allah Ta'ala had mentioned it already in the Qur'an Majeed. Allah Ta'ala thereafter mentions, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ, that Allah Ta'ala has given some of you over others preference with regards to sustenance. Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is that Allah Ta'ala has given sustenance not in equal proportion to every type of mankind. In that case, the world order and system of the functioning of the world will come to an end. Allah Ta'ala, in His wisdom, it is not mere accidental that some got more and some got less. It is in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create the condition of interdependence, that people depend on one another. The rich are in need of the poor whom Allah ta'ala had given certain talents, and the poor also are in need of the rich, therefore to give them labor with which they also can acquire their sustenance. If each person had been given equal amount of sustenance, who's going to be dependent on anybody else? And the whole world order and functioning of the system of the universe will come to an end. So this is also in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Besides sustenance, the differences in, for example, intelligence, in strength, in talent, that also is not equal in everybody. So that each one now remains dependent on the other to see to his needs residing in this dunya, or else, as mentioned, the whole system of the functioning of the universe will not continue if everybody had been equal in every aspect. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning a verse which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu had mentioned, that it is the most comprehensive verse in the Quran and Majid, which we hear in every khutbah towards the end. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba. Ulama explained that in this verse, the entire range of teachings of deen have been condensed, that Allah ta'ala orders justice and ihsan, which means to do everything in the best way, and also to be kind and compassionate to the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala orders that the relatives also must be given and looked after. And Allah Ta'ala forbids from immoral and shameless actions, and from all types of evil. And also Allah Ta'ala forbids from all types of oppression. So here, the entire range of teachings of deen have been condensed, and perhaps it is for this reason that this ayat has been included in every khutbah which we hear on Fridays. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, مَا عِنَّكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنَّ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. What is by you will come to an end, will perish, and what is by Allah ta'ala will always remain. Therefore, the demand of intelligence is that we now go after that which is permanent and which will remain forever, and that is what is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our concern should be more for the year after. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions towards the end of the para concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was an embodiment of the teachings of Tawheed and a pillar of Tawheed. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning him that he was, Inna Ibrahim kana umma. Umma means a nation. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a nation. In other words, all qualities of goodness to be found in different individuals amongst a community was found in one individual, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with such qualities. He was qanitan lillah, obedient to Allah Ta'ala, and he was hanif, completely disinclined from anything which was wrong, and fully inclined to that which was haq and which was the truth. Allah Ta'ala orders Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kathumma awhayna ilayka, we have revealed to you the order, فَأَنِتَّبِعِ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, that follow the creed and deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was hanif. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not from the mushrikeen. The people of Makkah, the mushrikeen, claimed Ibrahim alayhi salam to be their own, and they also claimed to be on the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala emphatically mentions that he was never from the mushrikeen. He was never from those who ascribed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the verse that called towards the path of your Rabb with wisdom and with good counsel, and debate and argue with them in a way which is best. The etiquette and way to do da'wat and tabligh, to call towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has been indicated too in this verse. And also indicated that when you have to argue or debate any matter of deen with them, do it in an appropriate and a good way, in a way where they will be inclined towards deen, not that they get a hatred for deen and run further away from deen. And towards the end, Allah Ta'ala mentions that if you have to take retribution because of a harm which has afflicted you, then you are only permitted to now take retribution to the extent of harm which had befallen you. But Allah Ta'ala says, "Wala in sabartum," if you make sabr, then this is best for those who make sabr. And then Allah Ta'ala says that with those who make sabr, Allah Ta'ala's help is with them, and also with those who adopt taqwa, and also those who have the quality of ihsan within them, Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance is also with them.